Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about Harrison Butker's commencement address. And first thing I want to say about Harrison Butker, you may or may not have heard of him. I'm guessing you have if you listen to any news at all. But Harrison Butker is the place kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he's caused quite a stir in the national media after his commencement address at a small Catholic college, Benedictine College in Kansas. So the first thing I want to say about Harrison Butker is that he kicks for the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's a problem for me because he's very good at what he does, and the Chiefs have occasion to play the Philadelphia Eagles, and he tends to make his field goals when he tries them, and that is not good for opposing teams like the Philadelphia Eagles. So my initial reaction to Harrison Butker is to get a little stomach ache and not like him very much. But that's just in the football world. In the world of real life, as he's made this commencement address down at Benedictine College, he's actually said some things that are very, very good. Seems to me like he'd make a great neighbor. Love to have him as a neighbor. But on the other hand, he said some things I'm not so sure I agree with, certainly as a Protestant, as a Lutheran Christian. But nevertheless, what he has said is right in the mainstream of traditional Roman Catholic theology. There's nothing he said that is outside that mainstream of Roman Catholic theology. And so not surprising that he would say some of these things at a Roman Catholic graduation, a commencement. So couple of comments about his address, and then I want to go on to a different commencement address that you have most likely not heard, except maybe one or two of you. But it's actually a really, really good commencement address, in part because it's only 10 minutes long. And it was given by a guy named Brian Woodstrand at Concordia University, Chicago, a year ago. And it's quite humorous, quite funny, actually. I think he has a great dry sense of humor from down under. So I hope you'll hang in there through the podcast, listen to his speech. Not only is it kind of funny, but also it actually is a very, very good commencement address and a great encouragement to us as we live our lives as children of God here on this earth. So let's start with Harrison Butker. First of all, I've already said this, but he's a strong Roman Catholic, given an address to a Roman Catholic college. And so a part of me says to all the national media who's jumped down his throat on this, butt out. He's not really talking to you. He's talking to Roman Catholics who are graduating at Benedictine College. So just leave the guy alone, you know. Doesn't he have the freedom to say what he wants to say? There's no reason for you to call for the Kansas City Chiefs to fire him. Oh, my goodness. Firing a place kicker because of his beliefs about marriage or about the Latin Mass or whatever else, that seems kind of outlandish. And we'll talk about the NFL's reaction to his speech momentarily. I would say that some of his speech, I don't know if it's the best. Well, I wouldn't choose to talk about it at a commencement address. For instance, early in the speech, he talks about President Biden. Specifically because President Biden claims to be a very faithful Roman Catholic, and he questions that. So let's take a look, listen to that, and see what he says so you know.
Man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people, it appears that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice. He is not alone.
All right, let's stop that there. And he goes on, but that's his comments about President Biden. And well, I don't know if, I just don't know if I'd say that in a commencement address. Certainly a lot of Roman Catholics believe that what he said about President Biden, but it doesn't seem like it's something to encourage the students. So that's kind of a picayune point, I suppose. The other thing, the major thing that he's taking flack on is what he says about women. And so I want to listen because I think most people have not even listened to what he said. Even I wonder if the news media actually has listened to what he said. So let's actually listen to what he says about women. Here he goes.
Ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker.
All right, so there it is. Kind of touching, not just kind of, very touching at the end as he pays tribute to his wife and to the blessing that she has been in his life and the lives of his children. Wow, what can be wrong with what he said? He talks about some of them, some of the graduates, female graduates going on to achieve all sorts of things in the professional world. And then he says he would guess that many of them are looking forward to getting married, raising children. And as his wife values the title homemaker, he guesses that some of them, many of them, might as well. He doesn't tell anyone to do anything. He doesn't limit anyone's choices about doing anything, but simply says that it's his guess that in the hearts of many women, there is this desire to be married and have children. And then he goes on to talk about men as well and the importance of men in the home and how that has been overlooked in our culture. And talks about men being good husbands, good fathers, that sort of thing. So I'm sorry. I don't see anything wrong, particularly with that part of the speech. I think it's a speech that America by and large needs to hear, but he's speaking the very politically incorrect things there for sure. Now, the NFL reacted initially very strongly to this. So let's take a look at this here. Harrison Butker gave a speech in his personal capacity, quote unquote. Jonathan Bean, the NFL's senior vice president and chief diversity and inclusion officer, told People magazine in a written statement. His views are not those of the NFL as an organization. The NFL is steadfast in our commitment to inclusion, which only makes our league stronger. So, first of all, this is the NFL's diversity, equity, and inclusion officer. I'm not sure why they need a DEI officer. I would suggest that, I would fire the guy. But anyway, Harrison Butker, he says, gave this speech in his personal capacity. His views are not those of the NFL. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember when Colin Kaepernick took a knee for the national anthem that the NFL's vice president of chief diversity and inclusion officer came out and said, Colin Kaepernick's views are not those of the NFL. I'm not sure if they did that. In fact, I think they supported very much what Colin Kaepernick and others were doing. Now, not every owner did, not every team did, not every player did, but nevertheless, overall strong support from the NFL for Black Lives Matter, for sure, during those days. So this seemed, and of course, the NFL took a lot of heat for this statement, and well, they should have. So on, I believe it is, Thursday, so the day before this podcast is being released. Here's what happened on Thursday. Roger Goodell came out and said, quote, we have over 3,000 players. Roger Goodell, by the way, is the head of the NFL. I forget his exact title, but he's the head of the NFL. He says, we have over 3,000 players. We have executives around the league. They have a diversity of opinions and thoughts, just like America does. I think that's something we treasure. And that's part of, I think, ultimately, what makes us as a society better. I think that's a good statement. Yay, Roger Goodell. If only he would fire his DEI officer and just let his statement stand, that would be great. That would be a statement that we could make about Colin Kaepernick, and we could make about Harrison Butker. But then Roger Goodell goes on and says he defers to the league's previous statement. He says, we agree. He doesn't disagree or reject the DEI officer's statement. He says that he defers to that statement as well. So he kind of says one thing that's really good, and then he goes back and says, but the DEI officer's statement stands because we're a league that practices inclusion. Well, really? Because if you were practiced inclusion, you would have let your first statement stand and not reject the statement of Harrison Butker. Why do you have to accept or reject any statement that any player makes? Just play football, for crying out loud. I just want to watch the NFL, and I want to watch the Eagles beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what I want to do. All right, I won't get haranguing on the Philadelphia Eagles. Statement from Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen to this. This is just awesome. So I find myself saying, yay, Patrick Mahomes, when it just pains me to say that because he's the quarterback of the Chiefs. All right, here we go. Mahomes says, quote, there are certain things that he said that I don't necessarily agree with, but I understand the person that he is, and he is trying to do whatever he can to lead people in the right direction. That might not be the same values as I have, but at the same time, I'm going to judge him by the character that he shows every single day. That's a great person, and we'll continue to move along and try to help build each other up to make ourselves better every single day. But at the end of the day, we're going to come together as a team, and I think that'll help us out as eliminating those distractions outside of the building as well. In other words, I'm not going to listen to what other people outside the building say. I know this guy's a good guy, and I know we differ on some things that he said. I personally, Jeff Shike, your host, differ with some of the things that he said. Some of the specific Roman Catholic teaching with regard to contraception, for instance. I'm not really interested in going to too many Latin masses, for instance. But by and large, what Harrison Butker is saying, I agree with overall, and that's what Mahomes is saying. By and large, he's trying to lead people in the right direction. I love what Patrick Mahomes said because he said, I don't necessarily agree with him, but I'm going to look at the person that he is, and the person that he is a good person. So good for him. Good for Patrick Mahomes. All right. Well, that's what I got to say about that. I want to go and play now this commencement address by Brian Wittstrand. And it is, as I said before, I think you'll find it pretty funny from time to time and also very inspiring. And it's only about 10 minutes, so I think it's worth your listen. Let's take a listen.
Please join me in welcoming our 2023 commencement speaker, Brian Wittstrand.
I find myself once again in a place unexpected. Concordia University Chicago, class of 2023, congratulations, you have made it. And for those of you who also find yourself in a place unexpected, and especially for the 5% of you who look absolutely shocked that you are indeed graduating, I have a special word of encouragement for you. You too one day could be a commencement speaker. Which leads me to my second point. To all of the vaguely familiar looking professors, a public apology, especially for my second junior year, and most especially to Dr. David Rogner. But it is an honor to be here, and I accepted this opportunity to speak with gratitude. My grandfather graduated from here. With me today, my mother, my aunt, my two sisters, and my father, who funded a majority of that. I met my wife here, and we graduated from here. And it was eventually my plan to attend Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and become a Lutheran pastor, and it doesn't get much more Midwestern Lutheran than that. However, I found myself again in a place unexpected. And opportunities were removed from before me, and new ones were presented. And I entered a job pursuing a career of winemaking. And do you know The furthest geographical landmass from where you sit right now is a place called Tasmania, which I didn't know was part of Australia until I got a job there. So I moved there as a base level employee in a winery, called it a tank cleaner. And it was a 2-month position, which was competitive. And unexpectedly, after 2 months, I was asked to stay for an additional month, and everyone else went home. And after that month, even more unexpectedly, they asked, can you stay for 4 more years, and promoted me to assistant winemaker. And then after 6 more months, the most unexpectedly, the CEO, his name was John, came into the laboratory and said, Brian, I have good news. I'm promoting you to senior winemaker. To which I said, John, that's a terrible idea. I had no formal education in winemaking. I didn't have the experience that I needed to do that job. And he said, Brian, what do you need to do the job that I need you to do for this company? And I said, I need to know how to make wine, John. And he said, I can do that. And he hired 2 of the highest paid consulting winemakers in the state of Tasmania to tutor me one-on-one for 2 years and equipped me to do that job. After I survived that harvest, I took 1 day off and I went on a tour of a cave nearby with glowworms. Fantastic. And in the back of this cave with the group, the tour guide said, we're going to turn off the lights. This is called the cathedral chamber with vaulted ceilings and nearly perfect acoustics. And we invite anyone who can sing to do so now. So I sang from Handel's Messiah, those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And when the lights came back on, 2 ladies came up to me and asked me about the words of that song. And I explained to them it's from the Bible, an Old Testament prophet named Isaiah speaking about the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, to rescue the world from sin and darkness, and he is the light of the world. And they were amazed. And they asked me what I was doing in Australia, so I told them where I worked. Later that evening, I got a phone call from John, the CEO, and he said, Brian, I heard you were singing in the caves. And I said, it's terrifying that you know that, John. And he said, Brian, those 2 ladies you talked to, they're good family friends of mine. Now, Brian, I have a favor to ask. I said, what's that? He goes, I need $1 million. And I said, John, I think you now have the wrong number. He said, no, not like that, Brian. I need to borrow some money for the company from a bank. Now, 2 of the higher-ups in the bank are coming tomorrow. Here's what I need from you, Brian. I need you to take them down into the barrel cellar. I need you to taste them out of the barrels, and when they have a little bit of alcohol in them, then, Brian, I want you to sing for them. So I did. And the song I chose was The Old Irish Blessing, which concludes with, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. And we talked about wine, and we discussed, what does it mean to be held in God's hand until we meet again? The next morning, I got a call from John. I said, good morning, John. Did we get $1 million? And he said, good morning, Brian. We got $1 million! Now, I stayed working there for several more years, but it was the next year I was called into the board meeting, right after a board meeting in the boardroom. And it was during the busy harvest season, and I had just, as an emergency, gone and helped repair a broken seal in a 10,000-gallon tank full of Pinot Noir, and I was covered from head to foot in Pinot Noir grape juice. It was 50 degrees outside, and I was freezing. So I show up to the boardroom, and right after this board meeting, 3 people remained. It was John, the CEO, his chief financial officer, and also the chair of the board of directors. And the CFO looks at me and says, Brian, I heard you were a Christian. I am, I said. She said, Brian, can you tell me if I do bad things, will that send me to hell? Now, I tell you these stories and I could tell you a dozen more and 100 that I've forgotten, to illustrate something in a memorable way. I wasn't equipped to do that job, but I became equipped. But what I was equipped for was the opportunities that were presented to me in a place unexpected. 100 years of musical heritage at this institution, and I toured internationally and nationally with Capella for many, many, many years. And it was that experience, training, and education with my fellow Capellicans and under Dr. Brown that gave me the confidence to sing from memory in pitch blackness surrounded by strangers in Australia, which afforded me the opportunity to explain the gospel according to Isaiah to those two ladies, which afforded me the opportunity to sing for those bank executives who had never heard a song like it and explain what it means to be held in the palm of God's hand. And when I was asked, "Are you a Christian? I heard you were a Christian. Can you answer me these questions?" It was a Christian who answered, and it was a graduate of Concordia University, Chicago, with a bachelor's in theology, with a focus in biblical languages, trained under Pastor Jeff Leininger, the pre-seminary director, who answered and presented the gospel to three of the most financially powerful people I've ever met in a post-Christian nation. And I'd like to leave you with three reflections. First, receive opportunities not by merit, but with gratitude. And when you hold an opportunity in your hand and you choose to engage with it, relentlessly pursue success and excellence at the expense of your own impressiveness. And lastly, when you find yourself in a place unexpected, do not be afraid.
All right, we're going to stop it there. That is a great commencement address, in my opinion, one of the best I've ever heard. And just a lot of great humor leading to a point, leading to a great encouragement to those graduates of Concordia University Chicago, the class of 2023. So I wanted to play that for you. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were blessed by it. And it gives you encouragement as you go and find yourselves in places unexpected to be ready to trust God to speak through you. And to be able to share the good news of Jesus with whoever is in your path. Thanks for listening today to the podcast. I want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of this podcast or other podcasts that you've heard. I want to encourage you, if you have a chance and you're in Paso Robles, California, to go to Steinbeck Vineyards, and maybe Brian will be there and you'll be able to get him to talk in an Australian accent to you. And enjoy sharing some wine with him. Steinbeck Vineyards has some just great, very, very high quality wines. So encourage you to stop in there in Paso Robles if you're ever out there. I've been there a few times myself, and it has a wonderful tasting room and just a great Lutheran family owned by Cindy Steinbeck. But it's generations of people there at the vineyard. All right. As we close, remember the promise of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. So trust in that promise. And I guess I can say today, because of Harrison Butker's speech and talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, fly, Eagles, fly.